Convert me, oh, and let me stand like a from hell, a stable land, a higher plane than I have done. I grant my feet on higher ground. I want to stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Now, let me remind you that we're in the book of Ephesians, and we've just got through studying verses 1 and 2 in our last study. I want to read those two verses once again. It says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Paul the Apostle here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to the people of a church. This would be the church at Ephesus. And he's reminding these people of certain things, of how they should conduct themselves as members of this local church, and above that, members of the body of Christ, these people have been saved, they're on their way to heaven, and Paul the Apostle is giving them some indication as to how they need to conduct themselves, not only for the Lord, but for themselves, how they need to be treating each other. You remember the last time we talked about Paul being a prisoner of the Lord. This means that he was constrained to give out the word of God wherever he was at. And many times we read of how Paul the Apostle was in actual physical chains. He was chained to people. He was chained in palaces, in dungeons. And wherever he was at, he took that opportunity to present Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul was a prisoner. He was in bonds for the Lord. For what reason? To win souls. Philemon chapter 1 verse 13 says, whom I would have retained with me, he's talking about Onesimus here, you can read that later on, whom I would have retained with me, that in my stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul the Apostle was in the bonds of the gospel to win souls. And how was he there? And why was he there? And how did he conduct himself? Verse 2 says, with all lowliness. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, you'll recall we read that, where it says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. This is Paul speaking, of course, with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You mean Paul the Apostle was tempted at one time to give up the gospel? He was a human, wasn't he? I believe that the devil would come along and tempt Paul just as he tempts you and I today, wanting him to stop giving out the word of God. Paul said, I can't do that because I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I need to be serving my God. I need to be serving the one who has saved me, gave his life for me, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so that I could be a prisoner of the Lord and give out the gospel. Once again, the gospel cannot be stopped. But the person who's giving out the gospel can be hindered by the devil. That person who's giving out the gospel today, they may give into a temptation. They may have something happen in their life that would cause them a problem, that would keep them from giving out the gospel, but they shouldn't do that. All of us have a problem occasionally that the devil throws in front of us, but we can't quit. We must give out the gospel. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2 once again says, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, this is tolerating, long-suffering, forbearing, tolerating, forbearing one another in love. And just as temptations come into our lives and things happen to try to stop us from giving out the gospel, so does, we might say that there may be someone in our church that may be causing us a problem, or maybe we see something that we think is wrong with that individual, or they may do something that would slow us down or whatever. But that word long-suffering in Ephesians 4:2, I remind you, means tolerating. We need to learn to tolerate one another. And the way we do that is to love each other, to let God take care of that. It's just forbearing or tolerating one another. How? in love. How can we do that? We do that because Jesus Christ first loved us. And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13 again says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. That does not only mean to the lost people of this world, but that means to our brothers and sisters in Christ, who we serve with in our local church. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Don't give up. Keep going. Forbearing one another, tolerating one another, and forgiving one another. Somebody may do something to you that you think is unforgivable, but God says, I forgave you of all the things that was in your life. You were born into sin. You're a sinner, but I loved you so much that I forgave you. And so we are to love one another as saved people, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, he says, you need to forgive them. And he goes on to say, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive that person to whom you think is treating you bad, who's doing you wrong, but we need to forgive each other. And so therefore, as we do that, we can go forth and we can keep on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, in that verse, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The bond of peace. Now, endeavoring here, I believe that word endeavoring, we could say working hard. In other words, sometimes it's not easy to keep unity, but we need to work hard at it. And we need to keep on keeping the unity. And you see that word unity in that verse, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. That word unity means working together. Working hard to keep the unity, working together to keep in the bond of peace. The Spirit will help us do what we think we cannot do. The Spirit of God, not our spirit, but His Spirit, letting not the fleshly spirit that we have, the old flesh, but letting the Spirit of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, work through us in the bond of peace, loving one another as the children of God. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, there's the word perfectness there, and we're going to look more about that in just a moment. But I want to read it again. And above all these things. Now, what things is he talking about here? Well, I believe that Paul seems to be saying in Colossians 3:14 that I just read, he's saying, do what has already been said. What has been said? Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. He says, put on meekness, long-suffering, and forbearing one another, forgiving one another. He says, above those things, he says, put to or add to these things impartial. And this means without favor, impartial love. And as a result, there will be in the church a complete, whole, without fault church, especially suitable to do the work of the Lord. Now you look back in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, you see the word perfectness. I believe that word means complete. Now, we won't be completely perfect, of course, until we're with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the more we add these things to our lives, meekness, long-suffering, humbleness of mind, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Remember, Paul's talking to people of the church. He's telling us that we need to do these things, and as we do these things, we become more perfect. We become more complete. Now, we're not going to be completely complete, of course, until we're with the Lord, but we need to strive to stay close to the Lord so that He can use us and mold us the way He wants to. And the way He does that is we look at the Word of God, we follow His directions. We need to have bowels of mercy, according to Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Well, we look on and we see there can be no completeness of love. Remember, we're talking about completeness here. And I believe there is a completeness of love. But there can be no completeness of love if we are not standing complete in the Lord. Say, well, what do you mean? Well, the result of standing complete in the Lord means we are on the side of right and not wrong. You see, there is a time for partiality. Now, with God, there is no partiality with love. He says anybody can be saved, and we should have that same attitude. We should not be partial to anyone or, you know, when it comes to the Word of God. Well, but there is a time for partiality, and that is when we are partial for the things of God. When standing with the Lord, we are able to exhibit the love of God impartially, as He did, and He does, to this lost and dying world. But we must take a stand for the Lord. That's being partial. Neutrality for the Christian is impossible if one is truly set on doing what is right for the Lord. See, I fear that many churches, and this is where people assemble, are filled with compromising, middle-of-the-road people who may or may not be saved. Taking the middle-of-the-road approach points to one of two things. Either the person is an infant in the Lord, or, secondly, the person has never been born again. Whatever the case may be, they are not boldly on Christ's side, and yet they are not openly against Him. Now, when we think of this, we think of a body of people, who knows the truth of Christ's gospel, but are afraid to confess what they know is the truth, are at best weak and unstable, and will fall for the enticing words of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, these people, however, can be complete. They can be grown up by getting into the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, we look back at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, where it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." You see, this is where the completeness, the growing or the growing up, the mature Christian happens. The Word of the Lord, the King James Bible, is where we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our Lord warns, he warns about fence straddlers that are in a dangerous position. There are only two parties in religious matters, two camps, two sides. There are people who are with Christ and working in His cause, and there are people who are against Him. Well, are we doing good in the world? If not, we are doing harm. There can be no peace until we are thoroughgoing and decided in our position as a Christian. Now, we don't have to be vocal all the time about what we believe, but we need to be vocal when someone asks us for the reason of the hope that lies within us. And we're going to look at the word hope in verse 4. And as we think of the word hope, we need to be able to give an answer to the people who ask us for that hope. We should not straddle the fence and say something that is contrary from the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us that everybody in this world can be saved if they will simply trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that, you need to trust Him today. And as a Christian, are you straddling the fence today, or are you standing for the Lord? Are you giving in to the things of this world instead of listening to the Lord? And as Paul the Apostle said, he was a prisoner for the Lord. He could not help himself but stand on God's side and take up for the Lord. Are you doing that as a saved person? God help us to take a stand for our Savior and to let people know that Jesus saves and that He is the one we are to serve.